On Hebrews chapter 12, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12. Delana, why didn't you name your coffee shop Hebrews?
Because other people do.
Oh. Other people do it. Hebrews, one of my favorite things is happening right now, and Lucas is like, thinks this is ridiculous, but I love watching the Olympics. How many are with me on that? I know I'm in a minority. I get it, but I'm one of those people. I watch it, and actually, that's something I'll be doing on vacations. It's definitely hitting. I love track and field. Swimming now with Phelps, you know, you're not going to miss that. You're going to watch the swimming. Gymnastics is the top. And they're saying this year that one of the girls in the gymnastics team is maybe the best gymnast the United States has ever produced. So I read an article on this girl. She's absolutely amazing. So we're hoping to take gold again. Other nations cheat. We don't cheat. We do it legitimately. And we plan. I love the Olympics. I love track and field. I love the whole thing. And I'm really excited about it. And this week I've been thinking about the Olympics. I've thought this would be an appropriate passage as we're in this time of year. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this. Says this, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. How? We're fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down, I love this, at the right hand of the throne of God. God, very God, in the person of Jesus, run the race. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we just pray that you'd be with our 20 minutes here, that you would, Lord, speak to us a fresh word today, an encouragement. Help us to be runners of the race. We ask it now, in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter comes off the heels of the famous chapter, chapter 11, Hebrews 11, in which we call it the faith chapter, in which Abraham had faith, and Moses, you read all this, Moses, Samson had faith, and all these great people that talk to the faith that we ought to have in God. And so Hebrews 11 is a portrait of dozens of names of people that have had faith in God through history. And so it's on that backdrop that we read that since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, some people believe that people in heaven are able to look down at us and see what we're doing. So I just personally don't believe that. I believe that what this is referring to is the cloud of witness in faith, the witnesses of people that have lived a life of faith, that we have all this history of people that have walked with God in faith, and that we're surrounded by this history. We're surrounded by this culture of history of people that have loved God and followed God. And since we've had so great a cloud of witnesses, to witness to what? Not witnesses to us, but witnesses of how to live in faith. How it is that we walk with God. I hope that doesn't burst your bubble. I guess it's possible people are looking down and watching us. I happen to think if that were possible, that they've got more interesting things to do. Just my thought. If you're in heaven today, the last thing you're doing is peeking in to see what we're doing. I think we're kind of in the presence of God, standing in awe of who God is. And we're going to be busy doing great things. So we've got a cloud of witnesses, not people looking at us. We've got a cloud of witnesses of the way that we should walk in faith to honor God. That's the cloud of witnesses that we have. Witnesses to the kind of life that we ought to exhibit. And it's in that context that the writer of the book of Hebrews says this. He says, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which is so easily entangling us, and let us run with endurance. We're running a race. I've never run track and field. How many people here ran track and field, ran it? And I never did it. So, I mean, I ran before, but I never ran in a race other than sort of field day. I never did, you know, at school, I never ran a race. So it's a little bit, maybe Paul did this, but he understood Olympic games. He understood these games. And he says that we're running a race. And I want to make a couple observations today about this race. And that is that it's commanded that we run it. You mean that there are people that are believers that aren't running the race? Presumably so, because Paul commands it. There's a race. This is a picture of the life of trying to follow God and honor God in faith. And Paul says we're to do it. There are people that are believers that aren't running the race. Do you believe that? Maybe people in this room, I don't know. Commanded to run a race. And indeed, I think that's interesting that there are people that don't run the race. I love this. There are people that don't run the race, but they're spectators of others that run the race. And they look at others and they say, man, they're not running the race real well. And they're basically doing like what I do on TV. I get to critique and judge everybody that's on the field, but not running myself. There's a lot of that, a lot of witnesses to people running. Not a lot of running. I don't know a lot of times I don't listen to, I listen to criticism, but I'm very careful to not listen to criticisms about the way I walk my walk with people that aren't walking at all. See, it's easy to armchair quarterback other people's Christian life. It's hard to run it yourself. I just want to encourage us as a church to run. What happens when you run and you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus? You're not paying attention to what other people are doing when that's the case. Not really looking at everybody else's runs, and look how horribly they run. Oh, baby, I'm not worried about what everybody else is doing. I'm running the race. I got my eyes fixed on Jesus. I'm gone. I'm running. I want to help somebody here. There, I was watching that video. I guess maybe Emily posted of that 20 years ago. That runner that he's running the Olympics, and he, I guess maybe pulls a hamstring or something like that. His dad comes along and she's like posted and said, I was in tears, and I'm watching this video. I'm crying watching this video. So sad. And it's like at least guy was running. Look at him. He pulled his hamstring. At least he was on the field. I'm calling us to run a race. I think we can be bold enough to assume or to project here that maybe some of us are more on the sideline, spectators, less running. How does one run this race? A couple things the author says here. We lay aside hindrances, encumbrances. That's the first step to running a good race, You lay aside encumbrances, stuff that holds you back. What are those? Running shoes. One of the reasons I don't run, it's not an excuse, but well, it is an excuse, but it's not a good excuse. Because I like to run, but I'm getting old. You know, that's not an excuse in itself, but my feet and my knees. If I start even walking, sometimes my knees and feet are so. Get better shoes. Get running shoes. Yeah, but they're $90. You know, real good running shoes. How many understand what I'm talking about? That if you get good running shoes, that do you know what I'm talking about? If you want to get something that's designed for, because cross trainers that you can get cheap aren't good necessarily for running. So they say you really want good running shoes, and they're $90, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to do that. If I'm not going to spend $90 to run, it just ain't going to run. Now, that's a horrible excuse. That's just how I feel about it. So I'll walk, maybe I'll run a little, jog a little bit. But, what you don't want to do is you don't want to run with big boots on. You know? You don't want to run with, with a backpack and your kids on your back. You don't want to run a race that way. Well, the Christian life's the same way. Hebrews says that we're to run a race, and the first step is to lay aside things that slow you down, to lay aside hindrances, encumbrances. We have them. Everybody in this room has things that slow us down in the race. And it's not life. Life's okay. That's part of the race. It's the stuff that you add on extra that you don't need. It's the stuff that is not necessary. It's the stuff that keeps you from doing one of the things we're going to talk about in a minute, and that's having your eyes focused on Jesus. What in your life is keeping you from focusing on Jesus, the prize? Career, love of this, love of that. Sometimes it can be pursuit of relationships. Other relationships can hinder us. None of those things are bad. They're bad when they become hindrances. They're bad when... there's nothing. He doesn't list anything in particular. He doesn't say, lay aside this, lay aside that. Nothing in particular, just whatever is hindering you. I find it interesting that the next verse says, or the next part of the verse says, lay aside every hindrance and the sin which entangles us. Hold on, so that means, that's number two, the sin, but we'll get back to that. That means that the things that are hindrances aren't necessarily sins. Does that make sense? There are things that can slow us down that aren't in the sin category. They're perfectly fine. They're good things. They may be even healthy. They may be things you need. But when they become hindrances, they become bad deals. Pursuing relationships, whatever, that's great. Do that. Absolutely. If that's what where season of life that you're in. Pursuing a good career, absolutely do that. That's the season of life that you're in. Those are great things. But when they become, but those things can become hindrances. And the tricky thing is that it's like, well, hold on, I'm not sinning. Well, hold on, it's not sin in and of itself, but it can be a hindrance. Be something that's slowing you down. Lay it aside. Lay it aside. Just lay aside. I also find it interesting. It means laying aside doesn't necessarily mean throwing it away. It might not mean that the thing that's hindering you is something you can't go back to later. But for now, lay it aside, run the race. And when you can get it in its right priority, when it becomes prioritized correctly, pick it back up. So lay aside every hindrance. Is everybody following me today? So I can't speak to what that is in your life, but don't think sin issue. Think, what is it? What are the things in my life that have taken priority in my life? And they're good things, nothing wrong with them, but they've taken priority in my life in such a way that Jesus is not a priority. How can I bring this thing back? So put this aside for a minute. Let me concentrate on Jesus for a minute and figure out how to make this part of my life in Christ without it becoming a hindrance. And that's the real trick. I believe that's why the author mentions it first, because today it's one thing, tomorrow it might be something else. Not necessarily always the same. And it's never glaring at you like a sin that you know is a problem. Sometimes it can be something very good and healthy, but it's got a bad priority place. That makes sense? So lay those hindrances aside, those encumbrances aside. And then on top of that, obviously, we're to do number two. We're to lay down the sin. This is worse, the sin which so easily entangles us. See, what happens is, notice the wording here. When we're talking about the thing that that is hindering us, okay, that's like sort of a roadblock there. And maybe I get around it, scoop, and I'm still kind of moving forward. And, you know, a hindrance is not the same as something that's entangling you. Next thing you know, you're just all tied up and you're not going anywhere. That definitely sin's got to go. Because sin's going to hamper this, not just that it's a hindrance that sometimes you can get around and is slowing down your progress. An entanglement's completely different. Now I'm tied up and I can't move. Sin will do that in your life, in your seeking to honor God and move forward in the race. And that one's easy. That's like Holy Spirit can definitely tell you right now. There's something in your life that's slowing you down. It's entangling you. Whatever that is, eliminate it. Might be bitterness. Might be unforgiveness. It might be some addictive habit that doesn't honor God. It may be anger, relationship problem, relationship out of place that doesn't honor God. I mean, you name it, thousands of things that could be said here that will absolutely hinder you. Pride, that will entangle you in a way, that word entangled again, very descriptive. Literally just wraps up your feet and you ain't going anywhere. I want to honor God. I want to seek God. No, with sin in your life, it's going to be a tough deal. Not sinlessness, but always peeling off those sins that are entangling us. Run the race. Free of hindrances. What's hindering me? What sin is entangling me? He goes on, he says, how do you do it? And let us run with number three. How do you run a race? You lay aside hindrances, encumbrances. You lay aside sin, number two, that entangles us. Number three, you run in a way that endures. You run with endurance. Well, I've run for so long, and I've been faithful. Good for you. Keep enduring. Run the race. Don't stop. The finish line is still ahead. There's no retirement from the Christian life. It's run the race. Run the race. Endure. Endure. Well, it's hard. Endure. It's tough right now. Endure. The people around me don't support me. Endure. It's difficult because there's all kinds of temptations around me. Endure. I got my feelings hurt here. Endure. I didn't get my way there. Endure. Endurance. The race is about following Jesus. The race is about the Christian experience. I'm going to keep on this even if the world is against me. The cross is before me. The world is behind me. There's no turning back. I'm going forward. I'm going to run the race with endurance. And I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going. I'm running. I'm running. I'm running. Nothing's going to slow me down. Is everybody here today? Just making sure. Running the race, enduring, enduring, enduring. I think it's interesting that he says enduring because he says that of hard times. Paul in particular says, endure hardship. So many times he says it, endure hardship. See, endurance doesn't happen. When I did run, I used to run a lot, particularly in Greensboro. I made a habit at one season of my life to run a lot. And I loved to do it. If you understand what the adrenaline is and all the chemicals that gets produced when you run, and there's a point when you're running, like after a mile, 2 miles, where you just keep going. I mean, you run another 2 or 3 miles and not even bat an eye. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If you've run, you know what I'm talking about. And you just keep going, and you just don't even want to stop. You're getting all pumped about it, and then you hit the wall. So, man, everything's been going so good. I'm going to just keep doing this forever. I'm just keep doing this forever and run. Now we're going to run mile 4. Man, I'm tired, getting tired. You know what I'm talking about? Getting tired, want to stop. I would always stop like mile 4.5. I'd stop running. I was 4 miles, 4.5 miles, stop running. And you know why? Because mile 5 and 6, just too hard, man. I'm not doing this for a living. I'm just trying to get healthy. Mile 5 and 6 just ain't worth it. 4, like, I was pretty pumped. Mile 1 and 2, tough. Mile 3 and 4, easy. After that, I'm done. You know, Christian experience is no different. It's no different. We're running the race. We're walking with God. It's good. We're having that relationship with God that we sang about today. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Man, I love this experience. I'm going to just do this forever until it becomes hard. Until it's hard to find joy. Until somebody assaults you. Until times and circumstances in your life become difficult. I said, hold on. Where's the joy that I felt? Keep running. Keep running. Endure. We run the race with endurance. The race that is set before us, verse 2. This is the fourth verb command that we find in this passage. 4 verbs, 4 commands. We lay aside the sin, we endure, and we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. What are we looking at? We're just trying to follow Jesus. Man, is Jesus over there? I'm running. There's people are talking about. I'm Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm going to Jesus. I'm following Jesus. I'm going to run. I'm going to endure. I'm following. I'm not turning around. World behind me. No turning back. I'm following Jesus. I'm following Jesus. That's not an easy thing. God's word says to, it's interesting, to fix your eyes on Jesus. Same word that elsewhere in the New Testament that talks about setting something firmly down. We're fixing our eyes on, not like repair, but setting it firm. Like I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus, and that's not going anywhere. It's set. I've got my eyes fixed on Jesus. And that's the key to everything. We're not serving the church, we're serving Jesus. We're not following the church, we're following Jesus. This is just a place we get to meet, fellowship, hear from God, worship, all important, great stuff. This is excellent. I love it. I love my church. This is not the thing, though. The thing is your relationship with Jesus. That's the thing. This is great, important, necessary. But the thing is Jesus. And sometimes we get the cart before the horse here. This is great, necessary, important. Love it, great. We need it, wonderful. How are we doing with our own personal relationship with Jesus? Every day, are you running the race? Everything's about Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. Everything in your life has got to be about Jesus. Why do I? Consequently, that is the reason why. Even if I weren't a minister. There's obviously ulterior reasons why it's healthy for me to come to church. For me. But for you ought to have a lot. You want your kids, you want the people around you in your sphere of influence, your spouse, you want to build them up. Listen, the thing is, what do they see about you? If somebody said, what is that? What makes that person tick? What makes that person tick? It would be a failure for me personally if somebody said, you know, the thing that really makes him work, the thing that gets him going is he loves his dog. He's always talking about his dog. I never talk about my dog, just occasionally. Your family. Oh, he loves his family. Listen, I want people to know that the thing that makes me go is my relationship with Jesus. That's what I want to be known by, is that I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. That is what I am. Everything else is not important. I am a follower of Jesus. And because I'm a follower of Jesus, I operate this way. I do these things because I follow Jesus. Because I actually believe that Jesus is smart, that Jesus is powerful, that Jesus has authority over me. And so when I believe those things, I fix my eyes on Jesus and say, oh, it's easy. I'm going to follow Jesus. That's what my life is. It's not just because I believe a fairy tale about what God is. I believe in Jesus. I don't want my kids to believe up here. I want my kids to trust Jesus. To trust Jesus. Believe Jesus. To trust Jesus. I want them to operate their life where everything about their life is Jesus, 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 Jesus. And that might make me look stupid to the world, but in God's eyes, I will be considered wise. I can live with that. The world can scorn me. The world can mock me, but I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. And I'm going to bring His kingdom to reign in my world and in my family. His way of doing the effective reach of God's will is going to operate in my life, and the effective reach of God's will, His effective kingdom, is going to operate in my family. And that's what I want my kids to do and be. What does God want here? The effective range of God's will, His kingdom, needs to work in my life and in my family's life. And in order for that to happen, I'm taking Jesus, I'm fixing my eyes on Him, and I'm running the race. Sometimes I stumble. Sometimes I fail. No doubt about it. I am not perfect. Maybe I'm the least perfect godly pastor this church has. I have no idea. It's hard to judge these kinds of things. But I can tell you this. I can tell you this. Deep down in my heart, I want to follow Jesus. That's what I want. I'm passionate about this thing. Let's make this up. Don't do it well. I don't do it great. I've got hindrances, encumbrances, all those things. I've got sin that slows me down. But at the end of the day, what I want people to know is I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. And that may make me, you may mock that, you can scorn that, whatever it is, but I'm going to follow Jesus. My family's going to do it. And we've got to get to the place in our life where we say, okay, I'm going to take this thing seriously. I believe this. I'm going to do it. I'm not just going to church on Sunday morning and playing a game. This is dead serious for me. We're running a race. We're keeping our eyes set on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him, this God that we serve, this is why we're running the race, because for the joy set before Him, He endured a cross, He despised the shame, and He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God right now in eternity. There is a real entity called Jesus, and He's sitting right now in eternity by a real entity called God the Father. That's a reality. That's true. Let's act like it's true. So my mind believes it's true, but I don't act that way. Then you really don't believe it. You might want to believe it. You might know it's a good idea to believe it, but the question is, do you really believe it? Because if you really believe it, then you're going to run the race. Is everybody following that? So many things that we say we believe that we may think we believe, but we don't really believe. I'm not talking about, do I think or have, you know, do I love Jesus? Well, I you ask that to some people. Do you love Jesus? I follow Jesus. No, do you love Jesus? Well, because you either do or you either don't. Well, I know that it's a good idea to love Jesus, or I know that I want to love Jesus. Oh, it's all those, and all those things start swirling in your mind. Do you love Jesus? If you love Jesus today, then let's rededicate ourselves to running the race. Lay aside the encumbrances. Lay aside the hindrance and sin. Lay aside the entanglement of sin. Run with endurance the race that's set before us, and fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We have opportunity, especially the young people in here. you have an opportunity to live your life in a way that honors God. And I promise you, in 20 years down the road, you're going to look at this thing, and if you followed God and done well, you'll be glad you did. I promise you that. So, well, I'll do it later. Too late, later. Later never comes. It's all later, it's always later. Are you going to follow Jesus? Are you going to run the race? I want to encourage you. I want you, as you watch, if you're like me, you're going to watch a lot of Olympics. When you do, think, am I a spectator in the event called running after God, or am I a participant? How well am I going to be judged in the sphere of the great cloud of witnesses, the great examples of faith that we have in chapter 11? How is my faith going to be judged against that? Am I doing well? Am I enduring? Am I running the race? Am I laying aside hindrances? Am I putting away sin? Am I fixing my eyes on Jesus? Do you receive that today? If so, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we love you. I pray now in Jesus' name that you'd help us to run the race. Lord God, help this church to be a church of runners, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Help us to be good at it. Help us to be a church that lays aside hindrances and sin, fixes their eyes on you, endures hardship. Help us to be that church. Help us to be known as a church following after you, individually following after you in a powerful way. Lord God, we love you. And even as we will be apart for a week, we pray great blessing over this church. Lord, keep us in your name's sake until I return in a couple weeks. Lord God, I pray for great blessing over everybody in this room. I pray right now, blessing over everyone in this room. I pray blessing of, Lord, sickness that's here. I pray, God, that you'd heal what is broken and restore it. I pray, God, healing and over relationships that are broken in Jesus' name. I pray that you'd work a great work there. God, for those that are struggling financially, I pray for blessing. I pray for a hand of God in their life that will bring relief in their finances. God, bring to bear the resources of heaven there. Lord Jesus, those that are struggling emotionally, I pray for healing. Pray for those that are traveling. Bring them safely. Put hedges of protection around them. Bring them back to this house safely next week. Lord, we love you. You are a good God. You're worthy today. You're worthy of our praise today. I pray that you'd bless this church in every way. Lord God, encompass this church with hedges of protection. Bring it to experience, Lord, great, great success, joy in our walk with God. We ask it now. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Lucas is going to do a couple quick announcements. Lucas knows this. He earns his keep when I'm on vacation. If you need something short of somebody passing away, Lucas is not to call me. So Lucas is in charge. You can handle that. He's done it for so long. He's capable. If you need something this week, there won't be anybody manning the office. We will go and check that. But feel free to call Lucas if there's a need. We want to serve you. If there's something you absolutely need, Lucas will get in touch with me. I can call you back. But I think everything will be fine. We trust everything's fine, but understand Lucas will be a good resource for you this week as we're gone. Again, keep us in personal prayer for traveling mercies, if you will. It's good. It's all good. Go ahead, brother.